Good morning, I'm David Ellis. Welcome to this edition of Down to Brass Tacks. It goes until 1 o'clock today, and I expect that brass tacks may very well change in tone. Once you get a change of government, you get a change in tone. Some people who would in the past not be regular callers to brass tacks assume a completely different posture. Those who have been regular, on some occasions, they go into the background, and you just get a different feel. So I anticipate that. One of the issues that we have to come to terms with is that when you have a change of government, generally speaking, there is a kind of honeymoon period, because people need to be given an opportunity to do what they have to do, put their stamp on the government, and try to find their own footing. But in an environment such as this, where, for instance, we have had an expanded cabinet, I'm sure that you are going to have people who will be questioning the size of the cabinet from day one. And whether this government is going to be able to have a honeymoon period is really left to be seen. I don't think, did the last administration get one? I'm not so sure. I know that, I suppose it did, because sitting here in brass tacks, I am aware that, you know, there's that period where you don't get that much heavy criticism, and we are now in a situation where there are a lot of people who would be of the view that you have to give the government a chance to do its thing. So let's see where the program goes. I'm here with the whole objective of listening, as we normally do, to diverging perspectives on what's happening, where we are going. I've listened very carefully to all that has been said by the new Prime Minister about the need for public engagement and public involvement. And I think that this program does have a role to play in giving the government feedback. We remain a vital part of this democracy in that particular regard. We sincerely hope that when criticism does come, that it is understood that it comes in the context of allowing the people who have no power to be able to feed back to those who have the power, and to be able to adjust to valid concerns. Because, you know, there will also be those people who are dyed-in-the-wool opponents of the government and who will seize every possible opportunity to attack. But what matters here more than anything else is whether there is any validity in the criticism. That is what the administration needs to do. We do not retreat from a recognition of the role of the media in all these circumstances. But again, we must be driven by what is fair and what is balanced. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Welcome to the program. And congratulations to the new government, yet again, the people who have been sworn in as ministers. And certainly there are some points which have been raised by the Prime Minister, which I'm sure you all may want to respond to as well. Welcome to Down to Brass Tacks. You're on the
Hello,
air.
Hi, David.
Yes, good morning.
Hi, how are you doing?
I am well, and you?
I'm not too bad at all. I want to join with you, though, and extending my congratulations to the new Prime Minister and to her cabinet and the BLP in the whole. But, David, I'm especially fussy, real fussy, that people like John King get a chance to practice his craft at a higher level, honestly, right? I will single out he for now. I want also, David, to look at the role that you play. When I said you, I mean your company and the stance. I know there was tough stance that you had to take leading up to the after the general election, and I'm not saying this because the part that I prefer win-win. I see now, I didn't understand it before, but I see now the benefit or the like you say, the balance and fairness.
Can you be more specific?
Well, when you limit down the callers to attacking or promoting one party over the next, I think that was a courageous step. When you invite the People's Parliament, I didn't like that at all. But at the end of the day, you give people that otherwise didn't have a voice, that vying for political office, a chance, a fair chance to come and express themselves. And I think that was good on your part.
To make an impact.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I am entirely grateful.
But you know, what? Every decision that you make is not necessarily seen by people as good and positive at the time. But when you look back at what could have happened, and most of all, where do we stand now? After a bruising election campaign, we are in a position where we can open these lines and can be able to communicate with you without having to feel any remorse about the way that we have done our jobs. Because
Agreed.
We sought to do so in a professional manner. We recognized that there were certain sensitivities that could arise, and we therefore took cognizance of that and decided we're going to work in a particular way to avoid allegations that we were actually appearing to take sides in a way. I mean, I'm not dealing with the really partisan people, because I hold fast to the view that the Democratic Labour Party has suffered the kind of crushing defeat that they have because they failed to take advantage of opportunities that were given to them free of charge to be able to articulate their case. And they had a warped and weird assessment of how you should use the media. And I think I hope that there's a lesson to be learned from that. So I know that all this rhetoric that you hear about taking sides and that sort of thing, people who are objective would know that that was not the case, that
David,
they were given ample opportunity.
David, I want to go on first to mention, right? I am not here rejoicing about the defeat of the Democratic Labour Party. After all, I was a part of that administration before he got fed up and left them. I'm not. I see good people perish at the polls last Thursday. Anyway, enough of that. I want to say to you, though, Miss Motley said, sorry, the Prime Minister Motley said to her supporters and well-wishers and members that all of we in this together. Even her speech at the foot of the sworn-in ceremony, I honestly take in Miss Motley to her word. And I believe that Ms. Motley will make an outstanding Prime Minister. Before I go, though, I am not at all pleased with the electoral handling of the elections on Thursday night. I think Barbadians is anxious. I think that the electoral process if Barbados was a different place, right, I think they would have some sort of disturbance. I'm glad that didn't happen, but I think the electoral system did not get it right with the way how they.
I think many people have that view, and
you
I
know?
Don't think that it impacted on people from one side only.
No, that's what I'm saying. And I hope that we would not have to experience this again. So in closing, I would like to say, David. Finally, I don't want to thank VOB, though, for giving ordinary people like me, Wesley, a fair chance to express my feelings, because I can do it nowhere else. So but I would warn you, I would mention this here, not because the Barbados Labour Party win. I will limit myself on the radio these days.
All right.
Okay?
Because
the government have to work.
Thank you very much. Down to brass tacks. Hello.
Hi, morning.
Yes, good morning.
David, you opened by saying basically the media is going to be continually trying to be fair, balanced, keep the government honest.
Yes.
And the citizens are charged with the same.
Yes.
So with that said, we have given as a country the Barbados Labour Party mandate of all 30 seats. There's no opposition. The citizenship, along with the media and others, will have to try our best to keep the government as honest as possible. So with that said, I just want to ask a couple of questions as a citizen here and get your feedback best you can. Do you see any expansion in the cabinet what the Prime Minister described as her thinking in being more efficient and transparent and just kind of put things that, you know, wouldn't be the best thing for the country? Do you see a lot of overlapping here in your view looking
you
at
You have
this,
to give me your
cabinet?
View. I would prefer you to give me your view.
All right. Well, if I give you my view, I will let you can at least give me back yours. I could give you mine.
Mm-hmm.
So for example, I'm looking at And you may give me a little guidance here, because I accept that you might be short on this. For example, we had Darcy Boyce being the Minister of State in the Prime Minister's office with responsibility for energy, for example. But now I'm seeing here, for example, George Ping is Minister of Housing and Land, but Charles Griffith is Minister in the Ministry of Housing and Land. I'm trying to understand how these roles will be played out. For example, Ms. Cynthia Ford is Minister of Empowerment and Elder Affairs, but we have Mr. Adrian Ford, who is Minister of Community Empowerment. So let me see people's empowerment and community empowerment. As a guy walking the streets and listening to people seem not to quite get this, as opposed to in the past where you would have had the Minister of State within the Prime Minister's office and such. Like, so I was just trying to understand what that would really represent in terms of, I kind of see Ryan Strong and Marsha Chicago Minister in the Ministry of Finance, Minister in the Ministry of Economic Affairs. But in the expansion, I just was trying to get some appreciation for exactly how these roles will be taken or handled.
Excuse me a minute, but I think it's very difficult.
I think as best I could, forgive me.
I think it's very difficult for us to be able to give you an answer to that. We need, just like you, to see how that plays out in reality.
All right, fair enough.
You know, it's early days yet, and we need to see that. The most important issue here, though, is the Prime Minister has said that whatever increases in salary that are attendant on the expanded cabinet, we should be able to look at that in the context of reducing wastage, and she said corruption as well. Now, what is required beyond the announcement of the cabinet is exactly what are these other steps that are going to be taken by the government to reduce wastage and corruption, as she has put it, across the board. Where can we get the savings? And most of all, how much more efficient can we get the government to be operated so that we can see that growth in the economy that is so necessary? I think yesterday I heard her allude to some increases in costs as well. And we need to get more details as to exactly what has happened here. So that it's still too early for us to be able to flesh out exactly how the ministers and the parliamentary secretaries are going to work. I mean, have something like maritime affairs and the blue economy. There are a lot of people who find that to be a bit vague and we need to have the minister coming down.
Let me tell you what I think, Yevik. I can speak to that, and then one other question I'll put to you and give an opinion on something else I saw here.
Sure.
This issue of maritime affairs and the blue economy, right?
Yes.
Originally, it was the Ministry of Agriculture, Food and Fishery. Now it's the Minister of Agriculture and Food Security. And maritime affairs, some people on the ground are saying, I've got basically like removing food and fishery and just leaving food security and agriculture to Mr. Ingar Weir. But I see the blue economy and the maritime affairs more as the country moving more in the direction of oil, gas exploration,
yes,
and whatever else can come along with that, whether it's in farming or whatever, which will all tie into maritime and the blue economy. That's how we say it as a layman.
Yes.
So I kind of go and see that as vague as other people may say.
Yes.
I think you're going to need to brand food security. You don't need to say agriculture, food, and fisheries anymore. If you say food security will include all aspects of agriculture as well as fisheries, which is food as well. So food security blankets everything there in my view. So that said, I want to move on now to this last thing, which is on 16, page 16A of yesterday's Nation. It spoke about fat pensions for losers. Now, the Barbados Labour Party from 1940 to 2008, and everything that went before that, those people get pensions today, as well as the ministers that have now left office will get theirs as well. As I see he's doing this is my thing on this, because I heard Peter Wickham and others speak of this yesterday about whether or not we should move to people being eligible after 15 years. I am comfortable as a citizen, because as you said, the citizens need to speak. I'm comfortable with ministers getting pensions after 10 years. What I may want to see is a reduction in the amount of pensions that can be taken. Let me explain how I see this. If a person enter politics at age 40 as a medical practitioner and is in government for 2 terms, when they leave office, let's say at age 50, 51, it's going to be quite difficult for them to go and recover in the medical field in terms of getting patient confidence. They may be behind the ball in terms of where medicine is at the time because they can't practice well their ministers. And at 51, I don't think that I would want to rob them of getting a pension, given that they weren't able to do anything else in between that space of time. And the fact they can tap that at age 50, I may want to allow them to have it, but I might want probably to look at whether or not they need to take $6,000 to $8,000 plus a month from the Treasury. And if that can be a tweak and a drawdown in terms of the amount of money taken, but give them at the 10 years, I would be comfortable. I'll move away and let other people speak.
All right. Thank you very much. We're coming right back. This is Down to Brass Tacks.
Good morning, Ms. Ellis.
Yes. I'm trying to do a little bit more research here for you too on this notion of the blue economy. The World Bank is basically describing the blue economy as looking at increasing long-term benefits of the sustainable use of marine resources for small island developing states and coastal least developed countries. So this is also an opportunity for us to explore new ideas, trying to get ourselves better informed about some of the things that perhaps we had on the back burner previously. So I'll do my best to enlighten you on some of these concepts as we go along. Good afternoon. Good morning.
Yes, good morning, Ms. Ellis.
Yes, welcome.
Yes, thank you. Now, I first want to congratulate the population of Barbados, the citizens of Barbados.
But I haven't heard you for a long time.
Yes, I know. And you remember the last time I spoke to you? I don't know if you remember the conversation well, but I said to you, the reason you haven't been hearing me is because I am totally fed up. And it seems like no matter what you say, the results are remaining the same. And I honestly was beginning to lose confidence in my people. Especially when I saw, after the first 5 years of hardship, and you could go and re-elect the same individuals, I say, but it seems like there's no hope for these people. And we were supposed to be so educated. So that really had me frustrated, you know. So I decided, let nature take its course, you know. Because if A, B, or C I mean, to be quite honest with you, I will not suffer. Because if there's only one bread out there, I then make sure I get peace. You know, I want all, but I know I will get peace. But I want to congratulate the citizens of Barbados for finally waking up. I want to congratulate the team that has been selected and was sworn in. I want to congratulate you and the station. I didn't want to get in to the size of the cabinet. However, seeing that it was one of the main things that has been discussed so far, I think most Barbadians was really taken back by the size as well. That was one of the things, I mean, when I heard it, I also was taken back. But as I sat down and I thought about it, it dawned upon me that, really and truly, this wouldn't cost the government anything significant. If you look at the fact that before, I think there was 16 members from the DLP. Am I correct? That were
16 or 17.
16 or 17, good. And then on the opposition side, it was 14, right?
There were 16 MPs for the Democratic Labour Party after the 2013 elections, and then there were 14 opposition MPs at the time.
Right. How much is that?
That's the MPs, but this is not the MPs alone. This is talking about the size of the executive. There's the cabinet itself and the...
Yes, but bear with me a minute.
Mm-hmm.
I'm asking you, the elected members...
Same 30.
Exactly. So it is still 30 people you have to pay, despite how... If 14 is opposition and 16 is the running the country, it is still 30. I mean, the salaries vary, okay? But it is still 30 salaries you're looking at. And if we are going to be more productive and have results, that is the bottom line. I am looking at the results. So that's why I really didn't want to comment about it as yet. I wanted to, let it play out. You know, for the first year at least, and see what happens. Because it's almost like if you're building a house. You can build a house and you can go and you can pay workmen, let's say they work, and they put up 100 blocks a day. You can pay the same man job work, and he put up 300 blocks a day. Right? So if you're looking at production, I am looking from it from the standpoint, if you have to use more ministers to get a greater result and get the country back on track, I see nothing wrong with that. But you had less and you wasn't getting no results at all. Huh? Because all that money actually was wasted. Because we got no results for the 16 that was there not performing. They were not performing. They were just killing time. So they could, as far as they're concerned, they could make all 30 of them ministers. I want to see the country functioning. I want to see results. And if at the end of the first year, or you say, let's even say, let's give them even 2 years, you don't see any results at all. Well, I would start to have a problem with all these ministers, and I'm not seeing any results. Right?
What about this question of the 10%? How do you feel about that?
Well, I think that is a bold step. But remember, it is only a temporary type of measure. As things then get back on track, I sure they would restore the 10%, because I honestly believe these are highly qualified people and they should be paid. You know? So at whatever time they choose to restore that 10% for themselves, I honestly don't have a problem with it.
Okay.
Because they could go and work any private sector and get more money than being a minister, to be quite honest with you.
All right, sir. Well, thank you very much for your contribution. I went to the Commonwealth Secretariat, and here's what they're saying about the blue economy. They say that it is an emerging concept that encourages better stewardship of our ocean or blue resources. It underpins the thinking behind the Commonwealth Blue Charter, highlighting in particular the close linkages between the ocean, climate change, and the well-being of the people of the Commonwealth. At its heart, it reaffirms the values of the Commonwealth, including equity and public participation in marine and coastal decision-making. It supports all of the United Nations Sustainable Development Goals, especially SDG 14, Life Below Water, and recognizes that this will require ambitious, coordinated actions to sustainably manage, protect, and preserve our ocean now for the sake of present and future generations. So what you have here is not just a question of exploiting the resource, but it is also trying to exploit that resource in a responsible manner. So, of course, hand in hand with that is the whole concept of global warming and rising sea levels and that sort of thing. So this then raises the question of how does that dovetail with the Ministry of the Environment, for instance, you know? So we got to see how these things play out. The other factor that needs to be examined here and is open for your discussion is the size of the mandate. If you win 30 seats, then what are the challenges that a prime minister faces in trying to deal with so many people who have won seats, so many people who have, in many instances, given up their jobs as well? And how do you balance their interests with our interests? So let's talk about these things. Down to brass tacks. Hello.
Good morning, David.
Yes, welcome.
Thank you. I don't have to congratulate the government at the present moment because I had already done it again, but if I have to, I would say congratulations to each and every one of them. Now, David, I want to respond to you and Wesley.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I don't really agree with what Wesley said concerning how you handled the program prior to the election,
mm-hmm.
I still had a problem, even though I really don't want to dwell on it, but I'm just outlining a couple of things still before you go to my point. I recall that I told you that I would not be participating in the program on Tuesdays anymore when you bring on the People's Parliament.
Yeah.
And my reasons for that is because of the absence of Peter. I always like the dialogue with Peter on Tuesdays. So you take that position, I decided I'll take my position then. But then what really had me sort of disturbed, I can remember Straker Century asked you, because he always liked talking to Peter just like me. He asked you if and when Peter would be back on. And you told him if he do come back on, for sure he wouldn't be by himself. And I began to wonder
He'd be back by himself tomorrow, though.
Right, exactly. But during the course of that time, you said even if he come back on, he won't be back by himself. But at the same time, you allow all the other moderators to be alone. So that was my growth. But let me finish with that. I sort of understand now why you really took that position.
Why you think I took that position?
Because, like, had the other station CBC did something similar to that, I don't think this government, the last government would be defeated so strongly, or the people dealt with them so harsh as they did to them. Because that program went from bad to worse in that they even extend their program then to Sanders and Sanders. And with one particular moderator especially, had that program just a political platform. In that sometimes she spent half an hour, 25 minutes just dealing with one particular individual, along with her and the Democrat Labour Party supporters.
So what have you learned about how you use the media?
I think
one of the things I will tell you is that this election has yet again reaffirmed the notion that it does not matter how you control the state-owned apparatus.
It's true.
You don't guarantee yourself that you will be able to stay in power. You can use it as you see fit. But that doesn't mean that the people aren't going to do what they have to do. And it's a waste of time trying to use it that way.
And I guess I learned them a lesson because
well,
you know,
politicians that they don't learn because we have seen this time and again. And yet you could see how they have crudely used that state apparatus in that way. I mean, what surveys were they doing? There must be ways of being able to discern whether it is successful or not. But it seemed as though it was totally unscientific and they just go there so and, you know, do their own thing. At the end of the day, it hurts you.
It's true.
You don't win that way.
And David, I want to tell you, you mentioned something, and you are perfectly right once again. You will find those same persons now would gravitate now to this particular station now, trying to destroy
them. Some of them ain't calling because they're shame.
Yeah, but they're going to come later on.
It's shame, you see, and they're still out there licking their wounds. But, you know, if the shoe had been on the other foot, my goodness, how they would have been behaving today.
They would come, but I want to put all of them on alert because in spite of what you say, I wanted to let them know that I still would be here. And the same way that they could go as far as back as Greenland, Crab Hill Police Station and the prisons, I want to tell them that I will be here to remind them about the things that just occurred on this last government. Sort of practices and what you call political madness as far as controlling the economy of this country is concerned, I would be forever remind them of it, David. Thank you.
Thank you very much.